This is Ben Goujon with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am thrilled to be talking art with new executive director and CEO of the Figge Art Museum, Melissa Moore. Melissa, welcome to Talking Art. It's so great to have you here.
Thanks, Ben. It's great to be here.
I was so excited when you were elevated from interim to executive director. It's, I think, just such a great thing for the Figge and the community. How do you feel?
You know, I have never been so honored in my life as I have with this position. So having given to the Figge for the past 15 years, really, as I've grown my career, mainly through education, it's just, I feel so much gratitude that the board and the community has put me into this position. I feel really excited for what the team and I are going to be able to do moving forward. So thank you.
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of people in the community who are excited for you and by the selection and are just thrilled at it. So you have tons of really exciting things coming up this year too.
Yeah, it's quite a year to be leading the museum, just diving right in. It is our 100th year. So I think the biggest news is that it's our centennial celebration. The collection was founded in 1925. So we're celebrating 100 years of philanthropy, generosity, and artistic creativity. And then of course the building itself, a beautiful building, is 20 years old this year. It opened in 2005. I know, it doesn't seem like it, right? So we're really excited to be celebrating all of that. And of course, we're going to be doing that in many ways. And we hope that you and you, the public, are able to join us for quite a bit of it. From exhibitions to programs to more free Second Saturdays. There's a lot coming up this year. Oh, and we're lighting the building.
Yes.
Leo Villarreal's light sculpture. That's going to
be
hitting.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, thanks. We are too. I can't think of a better way for us to be really illuminating the power of creativity than to have this, one of the largest public light sculptures ever.
Yeah, and it's just going to transform downtown Davenport. It's just really going to be, I can't wait.
Same. And I will say, we hope it transforms downtown Davenport, but also you're going to have a good view from Rock Island.
We are. Yeah. We are. That's it. When I lived in New York, it was like all the people in Brooklyn were like, we get to see the skyline.
Right? So very similar. Yeah.
Well, some of the exciting exhibits you've got coming up, you have a really exciting John Deere exhibit coming up. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, we've collaborated with John Deere for years and years. I mean, for at least as long as I've been here. What I don't think people realize is how strong their collection is. And so many of these pieces have not been seen for a long time by the public just because of logistics, right? Of going to the headquarters, and then with the pandemic, things got complicated. And so we're really excited to be exhibiting a number of the works at the Figge. And we're going to do a public opening on Thursday, February 6th, starting around 5 o'clock. And we hope people will be able to join and really celebrate these pieces that haven't been on view to the public in a long time.
Yeah, and that's so exciting. And then after that, on the 8th, one of the second Saturdays, everyone can come in for free and see it.
Yeah, so Art Bridges has generously funded us every second Saturday of the month. We're free to the public. And actually, Chris and Mary Rayburn have funded the Thursday night, so we're also free on Thursday night.
That's
so
great.
Both of these are free access moments. But definitely come by. If you can't make it Thursday, come by on Saturday, February 8th, and check out the exhibition.
That's so exciting. I know of the John Deere collection, and I'm so excited to be able to see it in the light.
Yeah, we feel privileged to be able to show it.
Another exhibit that I am really excited about is Cara and Diego Romero, Tales of Futures Past. I don't know a lot about these artists, Melissa, but just seeing the images that you have on your website of their work, just It just excited me to see those images.
Yeah, I'm so glad that that was your response. That's what we're really hoping people feel. There is such energy between what Kara and Diego are doing, as well as what they're doing independently. So Kara's, both are extraordinary artists, but Kara's main media that she'll be exploring in this exhibition is photography, and Diego is going to be doing ceramics. And the two of them have built their own practices independently, mm-hmm. but many of the themes, especially around indigenous identity and cultural heritage, social justice, climate crisis, many of these themes are intertwined. And yeah. so we do see a really exciting moment, and we're honored to be trusted to work, you know, by these artists with their pieces to help them share a story of how we can be experimenting with how we tell stories and how we reflect on stories and how we write and rewrite and rewrite moving forward. And so this is going to be the first exhibition that is nationally traveling that has both of their works talking to each other in this way.
Oh, how cool.
And we're really, again, honored to be part of this project with them. So it's going to start with us, and then it'll end up going to the Crocker and to Albuquerque. And if anybody's listening and would like to be a final venue, we do have a venue slot open. The Figge doesn't always organize exhibitions like this. It's a lot of work. You know how much work it is to organize an exhibition. But we felt that it was incredibly important to help with this story, and we're very grateful that the artists have trusted us to do that. So that's going to be opening in March, and we will in fact have the artists here for that opening celebration.
Oh, that's so exciting. I was so excited when I saw that you guys are organizing it, and it's not just an exhibition coming in, which is still incredible, but the fact that you guys have been able to put this together with them. How did that relationship with the artists start?
So we've known each of them for a while. In fact, we own pieces in our permanent collection from each of the artists, and we have exhibited those from time to time. In fact, we have some on view right now. And it just, working with artists, when it feels right, it feels right. And, Kara and Diego have been very generous with their time in our community. They've done some programming for us over the years. And we were able to really build from that as we explored what they wanted to do in the future. And this exhibition came up. So we've been working on this with them for years, helped talk with them about the idea, the creation of it. And we've been helping organize. But of course, it's their creative brilliance, their life.
Sure.
That is really moving this forward.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And just to be able to be part of that process. And I mean, one thing I love about our role at Quad City Arts is just being able to work with and support artists in that way. You know, being an artist can be a lonely business.
Oh, it can be hard.
Yeah.
My parents are both artists, and I know that it's just a different profession. And especially when Kara does have a gallery, and mm-hmm. Many of the pieces that we're including in this, actually one of them is part of Augustana's museum collection.
Oh, cool.
So many of them we have pulled from the artists themselves, who have been mm-hmm. very gracious in letting us borrow those for the duration of the whole exhibition run to all the venues. But then there are institutions like Augustana's Teaching Museum of Art and many other museums and private donors who are trusting us with these cherished works for the exhibition. So we're grateful for that as well.
Yeah, well, and I know you have an MA in art history, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so did you ever have art aspirations, or were you always more interested on the curatorial side? Or
I was going to go into classics and teach Latin to prep high school. So no, this is not. When I went to college, I was thinking I'd do pre-law, and then I switched to classics, and because we all change our mind as soon as we start getting into classes. Yeah. And luckily I went to a school that allowed me to do that. I went to Knox College, and they really give you I think they call it the freedom to flourish. And I felt that very much. No, it wasn't until I did a study abroad and really realize the impact that visual culture has on me personally, because of how I've been raised by artists, no doubt, but also, how I felt that was an important component of what I was able to contribute as I was considering what my career path was going to be. So I didn't get into art history until very late in college, picked up the master's degree, And then really started to, you never truly know. You just open yourself up to opportunities.
Right.
You surround yourself with people smarter than you. So, mm-hmm. so you can try to get some of that, the collaboration that comes from that and some of the training that comes just from being around people who are brilliant. And I feel very fortunate that I was able to do that and very fortunate that it led me to a career in museums. But no, this was not an aspiration. And I am very glad that I didn't keep myself kind of boxed in, that I had an open mind and people to support me as I experimented and tried different tracks.
Yeah. And that's so important. You know, one thing, that idea of surrounding yourself with people smarter than you, you know, like I know my journey as an actor, like when I moved to New York and was looking for acting classes and like you're sampling different classes and sitting in and observing. And it's like, there were classes I went to that I was like, yeah, you know, egotistically, like I'm the best actor here. But then there were the classes I went to that I was like, these people are so good.
Yeah.
I want to be in this class and around these people,
yeah.
you know, because that's how we elevate ourselves.
It's hard, though. It's intimidating.
Yeah, it is. You're scared because then you're like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, what am I doing?
Kid in this class.
No, absolutely. And I think that it's having the confidence to be vulnerable and
yeah.
having the confidence to, I think it's called a confident humility. So
yeah.
having the confidence to be humble enough to say, this is where I am. It's not who I'm going to be forever, but mm-hmm. I'm putting myself out there so I can become whatever so I can level up, right?
Yeah.
whatever level it ends up being. So yeah, I think what you shared is exactly it. And that's what I felt too. And the master's program, I did go on for my PhD coursework and mm-hmm. then took a break before I did comprehensive exams and
sure.
before I started dissertating. And it was at that moment that I was offered, contract work for the University of Iowa's museum.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had really done actual museum work. I had been helping with a museum studies certificate program mm-hmm. as a teaching assistant at the University of Iowa as part of my graduate studies, but I hadn't done any practical application. And so when I started working at that museum, it was right as they were experiencing devastating flooding in 2008. And so okay. my on-the-job training was crisis management and evacuation,
sure.
which
oh my
was
gosh.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it was
yeah.
like the first day. They were like, okay, welcome. We're going to start packing.
Oh my gosh.
So I never looked back after that. It was yeah. It was always going to be museums from that point on.
And just fell in love.
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome. Well, and you guys have such a beautiful museum to be in,
yeah.
you know, when I first visited here before I moved here in 2019, the Figge was one of the places we went. And I was just so blown away at this museum here.
Right. I love that.
You
yeah.
know?
And I felt the same way when I came, the Figge offered the University of Iowa a space to exhibit and store their art at post-flood.
Yeah.
And so that's how I became familiarized with the Figge. And, pulling up, I felt the same way. I was like, where am I?
Yeah.
But it's magical. The building itself is a work of art.
Yeah, it really is.
I think we're very lucky. I'm grateful to those who came before us, who had the foresight to say, we should have this and we deserve this. Because
yeah.
I think it really does help contribute to what we can do creatively and collaboratively in our communities.
Yeah. I mean, you bring in so many great exhibits just over the years. And one thing I love about the Figge is, and this may sound negative, but the size of it, because it's very digestible in one visit.
Yeah.
You know, you go somewhere like the Met.
Oh.
And it's overwhelming.
You're there for like 2 weeks.
yeah, you can't take it all in at once, and you leave just feeling like, oh my gosh, I am burned out on looking at art.
Yeah, you
because
get the like
so much there.
What is it called? The museum shuffle, where you just like slide from one to the next sideways, and your eyes kind of glaze over after
yeah.
a while. It's you almost become numb to the extraordinary things you're looking at. Whereas I do think that we have I think you called it digestible, like a
yeah.
manageable amount on view. So I'm glad that you brought that up. One of the things that we're finding is we want to make sure that we're striking a really good balance of what you can see. So there's something
sure.
that's maybe familiar and comfortable to you, something that is traditionally perhaps beautiful. So you just see it and you go, I can refresh, I can rejuvenate with this. Then we want to show you something maybe more unexpected. Mm-hmm. So something that challenges you a little bit to think, okay, you know, art is something that elicits an emotion from you, but that emotion doesn't always have to be a positive one. Right. It's anything that really gets you thinking critically about how you connect with it, what you can learn from it. So we want to challenge people a little bit, and then we mm-hmm. want to also give them an opportunity to express their own creativity. So having hands-on opportunities in many of the galleries in our studios so that you can be inspired by what's on the walls, and then you can create and either take it with you or leave it so that those who come after can be inspired by what you have left. So
yeah, and it's so important, you know. I think we tend to elevate artists or the skill of making art to a talent that you have it or you don't.
Right.
But, you know, one thing, and I know we talk about this frequently at Quad City Arts, is just like everyone has creativity in them. And it's, you know, it may not be in oils or bronze sculpture, but they have creativity.
Yeah.
And, you know, allowing people to express that is just really important, you know.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. And that's what we try to boil it down to the functions of creativity. Just thinking about how you don't have to be traditionally creative in a more formal way to still have creativity and art in your daily life. Art is all around us. You can't escape it.
No.
So, but I don't know that everyone feels empowered to say, I am creative. And that's something that I know you all work on at Quad City Arts. And we are also trying to kind of break that down for people too.
Yeah.
I am not an artist.
No, me either.
And everybody's like, so do you paint? No. I mean, I can, but you don't want to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
I paint. It's in a closet. Yeah. No one will see it ever. But that, you know, and that's the thing too. It's with... I think there's a feeling of, if I'm going to be an artist, like I have to be pursuing it as a career versus just like letting it be your hobby in little ways. I don't know if you've ever done I'm totally blanking on this. The book, the Julia Cameron, Artist's Way.
Oh, I have not. No.
It's a phenomenal book, and it's like a 12-week kind of creative process forming, you know, meant to inspire artists. But a lot of it is, you know, you get up every day and you journal and you have artist dates with yourself and just kind of try to trigger your creativity. But one thing I really took from it was just looking at the power of the act of creation, whether it's a really small thing like making a sandwich, like you're creating something.
Oh, yeah.
You're combining 100%, different things.
100%, yeah. You cooking, know? Yeah. I love to organize my closet. It takes creativity to puzzle that all together.
We repainted the bathroom this weekend.
There you go.
I was on my hands and knees cutting walls and caulking, but...
Yeah.
Like, there was creativity.
And if you don't allow yourself the space, then it's not going to happen. You're just going to be in this grind. And that's what we're trying to make sure we're centering at the museum. I have the most phenomenal staff at the Figge. I'm so lucky. And we're trying to make sure we carve out and protect space for innovation. Because that's exactly what we should be doing. But so frequently we get sucked into meetings and emails and all of the things that need to happen, but maybe not in the way that they are. Like maybe we can move forward with more space. So that's going to be one of our goals for 2025.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it is the centennial, like you said, 2025 is. What other things are you doing to celebrate that? That's a big deal.
This is a really big deal. And I feel like at the core of all of our celebrations is collaboration.
Yeah.
And this is true. This has been true for the Figge for as long as I've known it. I know it's true for Quad City Arts and for so many of our cultural amenities throughout the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
We exist to partner and mm-hmm. we are better because of it. So I mentioned John Deere. I mentioned Kara and Diego Romero. We're also going to be announcing pretty soon, but I can share it with you and your audience here, that we're going to enter into a relationship with the National Gallery of Art out of DC. They are doing a collection loan sharing program similar to the one that we are part of with Art Bridges, where we are able to access works from their collection that otherwise would be in their storage.
That's so exciting.
I know, right? It's going to be so good. So stay tuned for more on that. That will be happening in 2025, and audience members will have a couple years to see those works. So that's more of a long-term exhibition, so we can treat it more like our permanent collection. I mean, these are, I don't want to give it all away, but these are pieces we would just never have access to otherwise. What I don't know that everyone understands is even if you have that, like we have very strong relationships with museums across the country and internationally. So we have access in that way. We can borrow works just as they can request to borrow works from us, and they do on a regular basis. But sometimes there is such a cost to creating, shipping, insuring, displaying some of these works, securing these works, that it becomes cost prohibitive.
Right.
When larger organizations like the Art Bridges Foundation, like the National Gallery of Art, open up the doors to their vaults and help support us in borrowing these works, it makes all the difference. So that's going to be very exciting. We're going to be doing a really cool, maybe unexpected exhibition this summer. So we go free every July.
Right.
And I want to say thanks to Cal and Jill Werner for making that happen. So we'll be free again this July. And the main exhibition we'll have over the summer is called Future Now. And this is an exhibition about innovation in sneakers.
Oh, sweet.
I know. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool. So it's going to be around design, but it's also around sustainability and thinking responsibly about the future. So there, I know that there's a pair that's made out of sustainable vegan mushroom leather.
And, right? I've never heard of mushroom
leather.
Well,
this summer you're going to see it. And then there's there are shoes that are 3D printed. The ones like with the self-tying laces.
Oh, yeah.
Like Think Back to the Future, right?
Yeah.
So we're really excited to be showcasing that exhibition this summer. There's going to be a lot of great programming that comes around that because everybody wears shoes, right? At least in our community, especially when it's like 20 degrees out.
Right.
Shoes are very important to us. And also they've been inspiring. And there are things there are things we can examine around social presentation and social class and social justice issues that come along with this. So it's going to be a really nice opportunity for us to do deep dives in many directions.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I'm a big NBA fan, and sneaker culture is obviously very huge in that world. And like, I had no idea, you know, just the amount of money people pay for a pair of shoes, but then the art that goes into creating shoes.
Oh yeah,
and you know the advances in shoe technology.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who runs not quickly, but who tries to run on a regular basis, the function of them too, like the design, the form has to meet the function. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So
I've had some pretty shoes that are just at the end of the night comes and you're like, yep, we're done.
That's about it. Well, I also love, you know, as I've started talking with individuals about this exhibition, I love how quick they are to like pull out photos of their favorite shoes. So I think that it's just going to hit us at a very personal way, and then as a community in a way that kind of unifies us. So it'll be fun to get people through the doors to see that. So that'll be over the summer. And then as we head into autumn, the building's birthday is on August 6th. So we'll be celebrating the 20 years of the physical structure around that time. In October, that's when the Founders Day is. So when the foundation of that initial gift that started the Davenport Municipal Art Gallery in 1925.
Right.
We'll do some Founders Day celebrations. And we're also going to be premiering an exhibition that we've created out of our own collection. It's called 100 Years of Collecting. And so one thing that if you're not part of a museum staff or if you haven't visited museums, you may not be aware of how collections are founded. And so we really want to make sure the community understands that this is your collection and this is the history and how we got from 1925 with no public art gallery to 2025 where we have the Figge and we have free days and free months and we're very lucky to be holding this art in trust for those who come after us. So we're going to show that story through art come fall.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I don't know a lot about it, but just I like to read about art collectors and...
It's so personal, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the stuff that they loved, and then they choose to donate it, if we're lucky. And that helps form a collection in ways you don't even realize. Because
yeah.
It establishes something, and then you're responding to it and collecting more because of it. So our collections are fairly encyclopedic, but also incredibly niche. You know, we have one of the country's largest Haitian art collections because of Dr. Walter Neiswanger, who was one of our early donors,
sure.
who traveled and collected and was played a very large role in establishing a formalized way of collecting and exhibiting Haitian art outside of Haiti.
Wow.
So we're very grateful to him. And then his gift inspired so many, including most recently Linda and Randy Lewis.
Yeah, I was just going to bring them up. Like,
remarkable, remarkable works of American modern and contemporary art. Pieces kind of like with the National Gallery, pieces we would never have access to, certainly
right.
not in our permanent collection. So they were very dear friends of Walter's,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Walter Neiswanger, and his philanthropy inspired them, really shaped how they moved through the world in the past few decades. And here we are, so grateful and so lucky to have their collection housed at the museum.
Yeah, it's just a fascinating world. I was reading recently an article about how there's actually all these like younger artists who are earlier in their career and just experience, like, there was kind of that big art investment boom, like right after the pandemic, and lots of like crypto dollars going into art, and then it busted.
Yeah.
And all these young artists had like the price of their work was basically artificially inflated.
Yeah.
And they got stuck on the other side of that, you know,
right,
not being...
You scale up, right?
Yeah.
You scale up, you get a studio, you get staff, you know, you have people helping in the studio, and then it busts, and now you're scaled up.
Yeah.
What do you do?
You're scaled up, and now your prices yeah. don't support that. And
yeah.
It's so crazy.
It is a highly volatile market.
Yeah. Or you could buy a banana for millions of dollars.
Yeah, I know.
With a piece of duct tape.
It's just, but I love that we question it, right?
Right.
Like we have to be constantly pushing the bounds and questioning
yeah.
and having conversations about what it is and why it matters, if it does. And that's what, I know you all do this in your exhibition spaces. We try to do this as well. We provide an environment where you can safely explore and
mm-hmm.
and learn and react through emotions and decide for yourself, you know, is this art and does this matter and in what ways? Like, why is this important?
Yeah.
So it's not us saying, it's us giving you an opportunity to come in and see for yourselves. I think that's what's most important.
Well, and, you know, that makes me think about one of the ideas we talk about a lot is, like, we are... And obviously the figgy's different, like, but we are not like, we don't try to be curators, you know, and we try to support artists from the underside and
mm-hmm.
let, but there is kind of, as we talked about earlier, there's such value to just the creation of art. And also the piece that speaks to me is not going to speak to someone else and vice versa. And, you know, like you said in the very beginning, that idea that, you know, sometimes you're going to, the reaction I have from a piece of art isn't always going to be positive.
Yeah.
But that negative reaction, you know, I always, whenever I see a piece of art and have that gut reaction of, I don't like that. Like, I've learned that, like, okay, why don't you sit with that a little more and
that's exactly
that out.
Right. Yeah. So you and I are the same on that, because I don't know if this is true for you, but what I find is typically the more I try,
mm-hmm.
the better I like it. And
yeah.
some of the pieces that initially I didn't care for and still may not want to have in my home
right.
become some of my favorites because of their story or because of, for whatever reason. But it really helps me explore tolerance. You know, there are so
yeah.
many things that we do in, you know, at the Quad City Arts and at the Figgy that help people fine tune their toolbox that transfers outside of just an art gallery, right? Yeah. Or a museum. So just thinking about, I know one of the lessons we work on for, depending on what school district you're in, fifth or sixth graders, is around mm-hmm. the Holocaust and art.
Sure.
And in World War II, and there are so many different threads there, but we talk about tolerance and intolerance and really thinking about bullying, mm-hmm. you know, and where that can lead all yeah. through art. So it's, yeah, I just really feel like I've landed in the right spot, even though I didn't know that this is where I was headed. I appreciate that all of the things that matter most to me in life can be explored through art at the museum. And I'm sure the same is true for you with Quad City Arts.
Yeah, well, we are so excited that you're here and you guys are doing great work. And any other things before we sign off that you want to hit for this year?
I would just say come to the museum, check it out, come back often. We change things all the time. So I do hear from time to time that people will say, oh, well, I came last year, so, you know, maybe I'll make it next year. It's like, well, that's great. We are here for you whenever you want to yeah. come to the museum. But we have three main exhibition spaces that change over every 3 to 4 months. And we're constantly rotating the works from our permanent collection in different galleries than that. So that I guarantee there is always something new for you to see. And we're really interested in your feedback on it. We have something we've started implementing, which is where we will ask you a question about an artwork that we have on view. For example, we might be borrowing something from a gallery or from an artist that we're considering purchasing through our acquisition endowment.
Yeah.
And we now have a QR code so you can weigh in and vote on whether or not you think cool. this would make a good part of the collection. Because mm-hmm. like I said, we really are here to hold the works in trust for the public. So yeah, so please come down. Let us know what you think. Have fun. See something new. On second Saturdays, I'll mention also, we have snacks. So hey. You can never go wrong with snacks.
Well, and that's, I wanted to say this earlier when we were talking about just digestibility of a museum or the size of it. Like, one thing that I have learned as an art viewer is that it doesn't have to be the full experience. Like, especially on those second Saturdays yeah. or the Thursdays, like, I can go to a museum for 15 or 20 minutes to see something and leave. Like, it doesn't have to be, I'm going to go to the museum for 3 hours.
Right.
You know?
We try to remove that that piece of it, that cost piece of it, whenever yeah. possible. For many people, it's not an issue, and we so appreciate you becoming members or paying admission. But for others, it becomes risky. I mean, if you're taking your whole family to a museum and you don't know if, you know, if you have young children, maybe one of them isn't having their finest day. Right. it can become quite a risk to spend, you know, however much. But if you want to come and try it out, Thursdays from 5 until 8 p.m. are free.
Yeah.
Any day, any Thursday that's not a holiday and we're closed. Saturday, the second Saturday of every month is free. All July is free. We have a number of Sundays that are free in the winter and spring around our Young Artists series.
Yeah.
So just please, yeah, come down, check it out, risk-free. You don't have to spend much time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, my wife and I used to, before our schedules changed a bit, but like, we'll do lunch dates.
Oh, I love that.
Just meet.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go check out the fourth floor exhibit.
Yeah, I met my husband at the museum, so I'm a firm believer in the
Look
power of the arts. I know.
Looking for a date? Go to the Figgy.
There you go.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Excited. Thank you once again for being my guest on Talking Art. For more information on everything happening at the Figgy, you can visit their website, www.figgyartmuseum.org. And thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust. I'm Ben Goujon, and thanks for Talking Art.